Okay, and joining us now is Tony Arterman, and he has Wise Wolf Gold. He set up davidknight.gold to take you there. Let him know that you've come through us. And right now, gold is at the center of everything, isn't it, Tony? It's amazing to see everybody turning to gold. We've even got the president of El Salvador, who has been very heavily into Bitcoin and pushing that. Now he's even actually embracing gold. What's going on?
Absolutely amazing times, David. I just read one of the funniest headlines was Zimbabwe has a new gold-backed currency, and they're saying implicitly, we're not going to create more currency units than the gold reserves that we have. Now, if anybody knows anything, but Zimbabwe was the international joke because they had the trillion-dollar notes of fiat.
Yeah.
So this is a complete 180 and a departure from really where the world's been since 1971. When Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. Now we have there's a lot of reporting coming out. There's major buyers that really, if you peel down the layers, it becomes China. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these gold distributors that were making like 1 ounce gold bars for people around the world are actually turning into kilo bars and being shipped to China. This is happening all over Europe. I'm noticing this in my business. It's weird. The price of gold continuing to go up, continuing to break all-time highs, but the buyers for large amounts of gold in the public sphere are actually decreasing. But the buyers in the larger central bank buyers, those are increasing. So it's a strange time. Mm-hmm. You're seeing like a lot of dealers like me taking in a lot of buys, and those bars and all those ounces, I believe, probably flowing up somewhere to central banks and larger buyers and institutions. And it's really interesting, David. It's across the board, and it's driving the gold price. And I know the financial analysts are all very confused by it because it has nothing to do really with the markets. The Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell's language about raising rates or lowering rates, it isn't really moving gold.
Yeah.
And I think that's confusing people because it's really about it's global demand, and it's unprecedented global demand by central banks and especially players like China.
I kind of referenced it quickly yesterday. I didn't read all the different quotes, but there were about 10 different people that are involved with the Federal Reserve talking about how, well, you know, I don't think we're going to move as quickly to reduce interest rates, and all of them talking about how we're going to hold them there and kind of hinting that it's going to stay at these rates or maybe go up. They're putting all this stuff out, as you've talked about many, many times. The interest rates are their way of attacking gold. They're trying. So now they're talking about, well, we're going to keep interest rates up and not lower them and that type of thing. But that's not causing gold to go down. And you talked about this in the past as well. Isn't it interesting that, you know, they keep raising interest rates and things like that, and it really hasn't tanked gold? And it has. And all these comments from the Federal Reserve about how we're going to keep interest rates strong, in other words, to keep the dollar strong, all of these comments have not affected gold whatsoever. And the price of gold, as you point out, even though it's up hitting new records all the time, we've got all the central banks continue to accumulate it, even though it is hitting these record levels.
The Federal Reserve Bank had a net loss on its balance sheets of $948 billion. The people that make the money actually lost money. And I know that escapes the irony.
I need to talk to Nancy Pelosi, figure out how she does it.
Well, and one of the reasons why they're net losers, and they have to go against gold, didn't it? And the horse is out of the barn. You can't put this back. And this is why we talked about last week and all, we hit a $1 trillion in debt in this country every 90 to 100 days now. It's the wheels are off. You talk about Mike Johnson and whatever his budget is. You know, pray tell, Mike, what war are you a wartime speaker of? Has this been announced? It's not been voted on by Congress, but this is how these people think. It's unlimited. There's a printing press. We have it. We're the world's reserve currency. You have Janet Yellen saying that there's $300 billion that we've seized of Russian assets around the world through the SWIFT system and other financial networks that we're holding, and we've frozen, and that's part of the weaponization of the dollar. No wonder the world's moving away from the dollar. The rules are rigged against other countries. If you'd mess with the hegemonic dominance of the United States and our power, we're going to punish you. Well, I think BRICS is the answer to that. The BRICS wants to move away. They are moving away. It's insane to watch, David, in real time. And I don't think that the financial networks certainly don't get it. The majority of Americans don't get it because we've always been, our lifetime, we've been the world's reserve currency. You know, we've had the semblance of stability in that currency unit, But I think that is rapidly disappearing. You can see how just in, look, gold was $1,800 an ounce in the last quarter of last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's close to $2,400 an ounce, and the price for premiums on physical gold are even higher. So I want to caution your audience to pay attention to this. I don't think this has very little to do with the actual markets. Like, it's a hot market and there's things going, the stocks are up or down. This is really outside of that, in my opinion. I think that was the Federal Reserve.
We saw last week, you know, we saw the stock market get affected by this. We saw Bitcoin get affected by it, but we didn't see gold get affected by it.
Right. Which is that's the tell. The Bitcoin ETFs, and of course, there's a halving coming up here in a few days. Basically, every 4 years, the price it cuts in half of what is rewarded for miners. That's called a Bitcoin halving. So there's a little price pullback before then. But Bitcoin ETFs, there's a lot of the outflows into those ETFs have slowed. Everything slowed down. The market slowed down across the board, but gold kept climbing. It kept going and staying steady. Right now, I'm looking at, it's green across the board of gold and silver. Mm-hmm. Silver's finally starting to have its day, I think. And I know people that have been following silver for years, it's just so boring. It doesn't move. I think that's a good thing. Honestly, it's kind of an inversion of actual value. But there's, I think there's going to be a deficit this year. David, talk about silver. There's going to be a deficit of close to 200 million ounces.
Wow.
And they've been running deficits for years now of the actual above ground stock versus what gets put into the actual circulation and what is the demand for physical silver. So we're seeing a disparity there. A lot of things happening. And again, it's not going to end well for those who control the dollar system. And I think that's going to affect us. And one of the ways that I'm preparing for it is to stay outside of that system, stay out as best as possible, have things that are without counterparty risk, like gold and silver.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter what they do with interest rates, what I was saying earlier in the program, one of the guys with one of the big Tea Party organizations was saying, look, when Obama came in 2009, we had a $10 billion deficit. Now it's $34 trillion. And so just think of it as these guys stealing your credit card, you know, and you had $10 on your credit card, and now you get it back after Obama, Trump, and Biden stole your credit card and used it for several years. Now they run up a $34,000 bill on the credit card that you only had $10 on when they stole it. And that's what's going on. And that's the thing that swamps any of these, you know, manipulations that they're doing in terms of interest rates, because there's so many other things that they're doing as well, like the sanctions that also mitigate against the dollar as well. It truly is amazing. And then when you look at inflation, Biden is out there saying, you know, they're handing subsidies to companies to try to get manufacturing here. He wants to go up significantly on tariffs for steel coming from China. He wants to triple them. Trump wants to do the same type of thing, but that's not really, they're not getting to the root cause of it. Why is our steel more expensive? It's not just labor cost. Even more important than the labor cost are the energy costs. And they've shut down the last steel plant in the UK a couple of months ago because they can't compete with China. China gets cheap, dirty energy. We get virtually no energy. They call it clean, and we get incredibly expensive bills, and so we can't compete with them. And it's really amazing to see somebody like Biden, who has absolutely no respect for individual liberty, has no understanding or comprehension of free markets. He thinks that he can fix all this stuff, that he can make our electricity, our energy, incredibly rare and expensive, and then solve it by putting tariffs on China. It's just crazy.
It absolutely is crazy. And again, you go back to, this is a principle of economic nationalism. We abandoned those principles decades and decades ago, and really accelerating after World War II. We opened up our markets to rebuild Japan, to rebuild Germany. And I was thinking about the Chinese steel markets, which was fledgling in the 1990s. It was December 11th, 2001, when George W. Bush gave China most favored trading status and entered him into the WTO. Mm-hmm. And after that, we lost 55,000 factories and 1 in 3 manufacturing jobs. And of course, it didn't help. They got a lot of free steel from Rudolph Giuliani giving all the World Trade Center steel to China, getting there as fast as possible after 9/11. So I'm sure that helped them a lot. get some steel back into their coffers. But that's all. That is a part of the program to deindustrialize the United States, and there'll be some political, you know, back and forth, and we can put a tariff up, which I think tariffs work. I mean, all four presidents on Mount Rushmore agreed on tariffs. All the figures on our paper currency from the $1 bill to the $100 bill all agreed on tariffs. Free trade really is mostly a fantasy because if every nation on earth had economic parity, then free trade would work. But unfortunately, what you do is you incentivize companies, multinationals, to leave their country of origin, go somewhere else and export it and push it into that market because they don't want to have to deal with regulations and taxes any sort of environmental concerns. And it's like a Darwinian contest you throw these workers into. And our leaders, so-called leaders, I don't think they even understand what I just said. I mean, you talk about NAFTA, Ross Perot said it was going to be a giant sucking sound. Yeah, pretty much. And that's what it did. Millions and millions of jobs. You look at the profits of multinational corporations after NAFTA, it's up and to the right, and wages for average Americans is stagnant or down. And of course, with you add inflation to that, David, and the loss of purchasing power of your dollar, we really are becoming a nation where it's you know, a ruling class of have and have nots, and the middle class is dissipating.
Oh yeah,
all that by design, though. You know, again, there's always going to be countries that compete with us, but why don't we compete here? The answer is not necessarily going after one nation at all. Like, and that's the thing is, I thought that targeted tariffs really are more of an act of war than they are any sort of economic strategy. I mean, if you're just singling out one particular nation, you know, Pat Buchanan, just if we're on the subject of tariffs, and you know, if you wanted to look at something that actually would work, if you put a 25% tariff across the board on all incoming manufacturing, just across the board, anything manufacturing, 25% tariff across the board, and eliminated the corporate income tax, the internal and corporate income tax, you would incentivize companies to move here, put their factories here, employ Americans, and that would be revenue neutral. Not that anybody cares about revenue anymore. I don't even think that's studied.
That's right.
But that's one way you could do it. I don't think that targeting a certain country is the way to go. And of course, I don't think they think that's the way to go either. This is a lot of posturing.
Well, it's been their go-to weapon against us. You know, when we look at the China price, it's always been about piracy, slave labor. It's been about currency manipulation. But now it's about, and this is the other thing people don't talk about, the new China price. The new China price since the Paris Climate Accord has been their advantage in low-cost energy. And that's going to be as big as these other things, perhaps as big as them combined, the fact that they have this big advantage in energy. And so he's not going to do anything to address that. Instead, what he's going to do by tripling tariffs on a particular product from a particular country, what he's going to do is kind of a virtue signaling, you know, like Newsom increasing the minimum wage for people who work at certain types of fast food restaurants, right? That's what they do. And we know that that doesn't help anybody. You know, it's followed by layoffs, reduced hours, a lot of other things like that, and inflation. And so all this stuff is going to be followed by that as well. And so all these traditional things are back, and they're back, and you know, they're coming back at us big time. You know, the embargoes on oil and the higher energy and all the rest of this stuff and all these other aspects of inflation that they've built in with the low interest rates and quantitative easing and printing of money and all that kind of stuff. But now there's other things that are out there, and that's you know, that's also what bothers me. I'm looking at biometric terminals that are coming out with EU regulations. They call it pay by face. And they want to get rid of cash. They also want to get rid of credit cards, everything. It's about you. You will be the thing that they track. You will be part of the Internet of Things. And so I'm looking, and I've been looking at gold for a long time. It's just this thing that is outside of their system, something that is physical, something that is decentralized, that's not under their direct control. And to me, that is as important as all these other economic issues that are starting to come home to roost as well.
I agree with that 100%. For some reason, that made me laugh at the biometrics and using your face. There's a funny show called Eastbound and Down. He said, this face used to cash checks. He was like a disgraced former baseball player. He's like, I used to cash checks. And I think that's going to be part of our future. This is, and again, it could be just all the controlled demolition to bring in the central bank digital currency. It really is an open question. Are these people that stupid? They have to have more sophisticated simulations that they're running, doing the math, trying to add up. Like when do we reach like a point of no return? They have to mm-hmm. have that somewhere in some underground think tank saying, well, when you hit this number, there has to be a number in which everything falls apart and they have to do some sort of reset. And of course, they use that language as a great reset. And I think more and more of the financial networks, you're starting to see chatter all over the place talking about a monetary reset. And when you're talking, you mentioned getting outside of the system. David, this has nothing to do with investment anymore.
Yeah.
I've talked to people all day long and I said, look, you know, there's people like Robert Kiyosaki, who I've followed since my early 20s. He's calling for, he'll sometimes say, you know, it's $300,000 Bitcoin, but he's also saying, look, gold could crash to $1,200 an ounce. Mm-hmm. And could crash because so much of this is fake. How much of the paper, how much of it's tied to nothing? And we don't know. And so I think you're going to have to see a lot of this just come out into the wash. And, you know, look back at the first quarter of 2020, the gold went to like $1,100 an ounce, $1,200 an ounce. Silver was like $12, $13. You couldn't get it for that. But I am cautioning people. I don't think this is some kind of like investment rally. I think what you're watching is something a lot more sinister. It's something very deep. It's much more deep than that. It's not about markets. It's about a complete change of the global order.
That's right.
Okay? That's what you're looking at. And so when people call me and say, "Where, you know, what's going to go up?" I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I don't know what's going to go up. I do know where the dollar's going. No, it's going to digital, and it's going to lose whatever current status it has right now. Every day that passes, there's more news that comes out that countries are moving away, dumping the dollar. Again, let's go back to this. The Federal Reserve lost money. The people that make the money lost almost $1 trillion. I mean, this is insane. So you can't trust that system. Yeah. The mere fact that they can't, I go over this again and again, the mere fact that they can't do anything to affect the price of gold, raising, lowering, hinting, it doesn't matter. It's on its own now. It's mm-hmm. become organic. Mm-hmm. It's outside of their control. And you have to remember the dollar inherently since 1971 is at war with gold. They did a pretty good job, by the way, of covering that up for a long time. They went after, in my opinion, it's my opinion, they went after the Hunt family in the early 1980s. To make sure that nobody cornered the silver market again, that exposes them because it's not that hard to corner the physical silver market. I mean, you could, if you have a little, if you're an Elon Musk type or somebody, even, you know, a billionaire, you could corner the silver market. It's not that hard. They exposed that. And so they shut that down because it made the price of silver start really going up with $52.50 an ounce in 1980. So nobody did that. And then gold, you know, cratered in the 1980s because you had, you know, it was morning in America and you had Art mm-hmm. Laffer and the Laffer curve and are going to mm-hmm. stimulate the economy through deficit spending and all this other stuff. And so it looked like that era was over. Well, until it's not. And then you've spent too much, you know, again, it's $1 trillion every 100 days. So in my opinion, I think that entire system is coming apart. They're going to have to reset somehow. Their war with gold, it's continuing. I don't know what they're going to do about it, but every time the gold goes up that you see, you know, this crate, I wouldn't have predicted these prices 6 months ago. I didn't say that. I mean, I mm-hmm. thought we'd be mm-hmm. in the 2000, maybe 2100 range, but to break into the 20, that's something, 2400 is something that I don't think even some of the most bullish analysts were saying that we were going to be in here at this stage in 2024, David. So something else is afoot.
I agree. Yeah, I also talked about the Tea Party organization guy earlier. We were talking about how it's out of control. And he's saying, you know, when you look at Trump, he looks at it like from standpoint of a businessman. He says, well, if you go bankrupt, you just declare bankruptcy and you start all over again. Well, you can't do that with a country. But he didn't address, so what happens when the country is bankrupt? What happens when we can't service the debt, for example? And what happens is they completely reset the financial system. You know, that's where he stopped. He didn't talk about that. And how do they do that? Well, they just, you know, completely wipe that out. Here's the next new thing. How do they force people in it? I've got an article I haven't covered here where somebody was talking about, well, maybe it's going to be through the food supply. Maybe it'll be through a some kind of bird flu pandemic. We got our, because they're going to start registering all the backyard chickens and anything else like that that people have in the UK beginning in September. They're telling everybody, we got this bird flu pandemic that's going on right now. It's really serious. But, you know, in 3 months or 6 months, I should say, 6 months was when they said it. In 6 months, we're going to start registering all this stuff. And it's like, well, if it's serious, why don't you do it now? Same type of iterative, gradual control that we saw throughout the COVID pandemic. They're going to start doing that as well. And so they said, well, so what happens when they go in and they say, well, we got to kill all the chickens and everything. Now everybody's starving. That's going to be a very effective weapon to try to force people into their currency, right? You're going to, I'll trade all this for food. And so when I look at gold, or when I look at backyard chickens, or when I look at solar that is off of their grid, you know, I don't like solar being used as an input into the grid, but I like it as a system that's off to the side that gives you independence from the grid. You know, you look at all those things and they can be very expensive. And it's like, well, why would I bother to have chickens when I just go buy chickens or go buy eggs at the grocery store? The same thing with the power. Why would I spend more money for a solar system than this other stuff? Well, it's because you're preparing for what you think is going to come along. And that's the real issue. That's, as we're saying here, that's above and beyond all of these financial problems that are coming home to roost. And that is, you know, what this control mechanism that I think they're going to try to get this done by 2029. I think it's all going to happen in the next presidential term, regardless of which one of these clowns gets a second term.
Absolutely. Wasn't it like 180 different fires or planes flying into food distribution points? Two different planes, I think, maybe three.
And there's certainly a lot of coincidences. And accidents.
So many coincidences. Oh, and, you know, you have Bill Gates buying up all the farmland.
Yeah,
I saw a meme the other day and I thought it was great. I think it was depicting the Revolutionary War. Maybe it was Boston era 1770s. It had somebody getting tarred and feathered, and it said that we need to make tax collectors birds again. You reminded me of that thinking about the backyard chickens. You know, they will do that. I mean, and I think all the test models from COVID-1984 were what will people comply? And we found that out. All you have to do is give them a Trump figure and say he's on your side. He's playing 4D chess. That'll neutralize the people that generally would stand up to it. And you were so right this morning. You'd be so angry if this was Hillary Clinton. You'd be so angry if this was Barack Obama, but you're not. And that's the mind control here. That's why that. Think of, we live in a world where what you just said could become a reality, where they start going after anybody who's producing on their own, trying to get you under the guise of we have a bird flu outbreak for our own food supply and we're in this together. Like, they're going after any semblance of independence, and people would roll over. I think a large portion of them would, and again, not everyone, and there's a lot of people that are more awake, but we're caught in an election year and it means nothing. It means nothing. In my opinion, I pay attention to it at politics anymore for Sun Tzu's maxim of know your enemy.
Yeah,
this is mind control. It's psychological warfare. That's why I pay attention to it. But no, you're right, David. And
well, if we know our enemy has made their plans clear. They've even given us a rough time frame in which they want to do it, time frame where they want to ban cars and ban other things and all the rest of this stuff. But, you know, when you look at a situation like Amos Miller, for example, right, a local or state government can make it worse or they can make it better. So what we can do is, and I think it is something people really need to think about, and that is to make sure that you've got things that are outside of their system, food, energy, wealth and things like that, like gold or silver, that is outside of their system. And then, of course, make sure at the local level that you've got people who are not going to be worse than the criminals at the top. These people have taken over our government. But you've got people who are going to somewhat stand against that, even if they just passively don't comply. You know, if you've got people like that, And you've made some preparations. That's kind of the best that you can do on a material, secular basis. You know, certainly, you know, having a connection with God is going to give you a foundation there that's going to take you through whatever comes. But from a secular material perspective, I think the best you can do is prepare individually. And then from the election standpoint, if you can find any good candidates that are that you can support, that's good. And if you can't, get out of that state. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can tell people.
I do think that there will be more, there'll be better and better candidates on local level ballots.
I think so.
As we move forward. It'll be a natural progression because it takes a while. I mean, the things that we're talking about are years out from being in the consciousness of the average, even conservative person that listens to talk radio. We're way ahead of that. And again, they might catch up, they might not, but I think a good portion of them will. I mean, places like Texas will have, just because of the sheer fact that everything's being exposed. You have people like Greg Abbott bussing up illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard for political stunts or taking them to sanctuary cities. And ignoring his duty, which is to secure the border in which the state he governs, and he has the duty, he has the ability, he has the power to do that, and he's tasked to do that. He does not do it, that's the Republican Party in a nutshell. He'll do anything but he'll run any stunt. He'll try to score any points that he can. But I think that runs out, and again, when it becomes so bad, people just have to figure out another way. There has to be some sort of valve for that. And there will be. There'll be better and better candidates, but it's going to take, unfortunately, the way things work, it has to get worse before it gets better. So I think just right now is a good time to prepare for change. Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways you can do that is having backyard chickens. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I've got backyard chickens, love chickens. They produce eggs. They have something. You know, looking at having precious metals, cryptocurrencies, anything that's outside of the system, cash, you know, having a little bit of cash on hand is always good. I mean, I know I'm in the precious metals business, but I think there's a multi-pronged way to just be in a better position for when things get a little bit more weird, they will, I believe.
Yeah, and, you know, it can be a little bit difficult to find good people, but a lot of times, you know, if it's somebody that's really good, the eye of Sauron will find them and identify them for you as well. You got somebody who just speaks up at a school board meeting. You know, the eye of Sauron focuses on them. That tells you right there, you know, we know that politics is local and they know it as well. And so, you know, they're going to focus. If you see somebody who really gets the eyeball of Sauron on them, pay attention to that person. And a lot of times those people will move on to run for office. We got the guy who's running for governor now. In North Carolina, he got elected as lieutenant governor last time. He's got no background in politics. He's got nothing at all on his resume that would get him to be lieutenant governor or governor, except that he stood up and took these people on in a public forum over guns and over some other issues like that. And that made him a folk hero. And he's got just general good common sense, I think. So now he's running for governor. So sometimes, you know, they focus on somebody like that. And next thing you know, they're lieutenant governor. And next thing you know, they're running for governor. That type of thing can happen. And so, you know, people can focus on that. But tell us a little bit about what's going on you know, with this crazy gold market. What's going on with Wise Wolf?
Well, a lot of exciting things going on. Well, I tell you what, if things get worse, I might just run again just for the fun of it, to follow one of these establishment guys around and make their brain melt, you know, just like having to face these issues. The politicians don't like it when you actually know more than they do.
Yeah.
And they don't like having to answer questions.
That's right.
You know, what we're doing here, and just coming off of I flew back from California. I was out on Tinfoil Hat, which was a lot of fun. And we promoted Wolfpack there, and Sam Tripoli is somebody we love to sponsor, and they're spreading this around. So we're helping more people. We've grown the pack significantly. We passed over 1,000 members this last week, which that was my goal for so long. I could get so close, but we wouldn't hit it. And we finally hit 1,000. So we have 1,000 members across the country. As you mentioned, it's like most of the country now, the states have no sales tax on gold and silver bullion and, and coins. And so that's great for us.
Yeah, I talked about that yesterday. 45 states now have, the latest one was Kentucky. overrode the veto from Andy Beshear, this horrible Democrat governor, one of the worst. He's almost up to the level of Whitmer during the pandemic. So he fought that. But they overrode that, and there's only five left, and one of them is New Jersey. I think they'll probably do something to help Bob Menendez with his gold bars there, so that might be a shoe-in there as well. I've got a question for you from a listener. Michelle Obama asks you if you can explain the Nevada goldbacks. Who makes them, and how do they work?
Well, there's Nevada, Wyoming, New Hampshire, Utah. These states respectively have a gold back made by a mint there that the state approves of. And these are 24 karat gold notes. As a matter of fact, I was looking at Gold Telegraph's Twitter today, and Dubai has a new note from the government. It's a 24 karat note. There's going to be other countries that do this. It's approximately like 0.01 gram or something of in each note. Mm-hmm. So if you take that note and you melt it, you're going to get that amount of gold. So you're walking around with not just a, you know, like a gold bar, but it's 24 karat gold spread over this gold. I should have had one on hand. I'd go get
one.
And
they don't have a dollar denomination on them because it's always changing, right? So it's just,
It'll be measured in, yeah, they have denominations, but it's basically measured in how much gold is in there. So it go from like one to five to tens. And so you'll have a little bit thicker note as it goes up. What Wolfpack does, what I did, David, is I just bought the one denominations, the singles, mm-hmm. and I just spread it over the different states. So I get all the different states with the one denominations, and we put those in every single Wolfpack. So if it
we
even
say one denomination, is it marked as $1? Is it marked as one, you know, some unit?
Yeah, it's marked as like a dollar. Oh, okay. But I know that's not what it means. It's kind of like how the American Silver Eagles marked that's as
right.
a dollar.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. Or dimes or things like that. You know, they have a nominal value.
That, but it's not translatable. It's mm-hmm. You're going to be looking at what the conversion rate of that is, and you can look at some of the online retailers like JM Bullion and others. They list them for like, I think they're in the mid like $6.50 range if you buy them with a credit card or something like that, and we're under the five into the five range for them when we put mm-hmm. them in Wolfpack. Mm-hmm. So and they're not cheap. Mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. not cheap, and there's only a few places that you can get them, but I think there's going to be more and more of a future for them. It's not the best way to invest in gold, but it's a great way to have something outside of the system for trading, for bartering, for smaller items. As a matter of fact, I was going to tell you, one of the things that I've been telling people right now is if you're able to get gold and hold it for the long term, one of the best things you can do is buy fractional gold, in my opinion, because, again, we're looking at the gold price. If you're able to get 10th ounce gold coins, that's about the size of a dime. You can get 10th ounce gold coins right now and hold them. You've got a divisible, because it's going to cost you around $300. You've got a divisible trading piece that you can use. That's actually could be like, this is a week's worth of groceries, and it's in a dime size instead mm-hmm. of being in a 1 ounce coin. So if you can hold it for the long term, and that's one of the great things about Wolfpack, is we save you a significant amount on items like that, whether it's a tenth ounce, and I say one tenth of an ounce bar or coin. We usually start putting those in the Wise Wolves, which is the 500 and up. You start getting gold in the Alpha, which is the 250. That's the gram bars. But some of the best ways to get fractional gold is through Wolfpack right now. And I'm doing an infomercial, but that's one of the best ways, because we buy them in bulk and then beat the other online retailers significant.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when we're talking about these gold backs and stuff, you just kind of think of them like you would a Kennedy half dollar. That's not worth 50 cents anymore. That's right. I used to have a lot of those. And if we go back to having something that's like a, you know, gold that's the size of a dime and buy a week's worth of groceries, you go back to where it was when my parents were kids, where they could actually get a week's worth of groceries for a dime.
Somebody put up a meme the other day. I wanted to correct them, but I didn't have the heart. But they just got it wrong on what the bar was. It should have been like 10 ounce bars of gold. It says like 10 of these would have bought you a median priced home in the 1920s, and then it shows in today's world, it says 10 of these will buy you a median priced home in the 2024. Yes, because mm-hmm. gold just held its value. It's the currency that was separated from that value and then used, you know, over and over again and printed into oblivion that's debased itself. And so, yeah, if you just, as a store of value, gold's just a good thing to have. Silver's a good thing to have. I think a silver is so undervalued, and we hit a little bit on that today, but it's going to be like 200 million ounces deficit this year on above ground supplies versus demand. I think there's a lot of reckoning happening in the commodities markets, and we're trying to prepare for that. The prices are moving all over the place, but we're definitely meeting the challenge, I think, Dave.
Well, that's great. And of course, you can get to Tony, go to davidknight.gold, and I'll take you to Wise Wolf Gold. Get in on the, he's now got over 1,000 people with Wolfpack, so you get in with that buying group, and that helps you to buy smaller quantities and get a better price on smaller quantities because you're part of the bigger group there. And but he can handle gold or silver orders at any size. So I've known Tony for a long time. I've seen articles this last week, Tony, where they say, well, the key thing is you got to, now everybody's jumping into gold thing and everybody's paying attention to it. So there's going to be some scammers out there. Make sure you're dealing with somebody that has been around for a while that you know. That's the key thing. So thank you so much for what you do for us. Thank you for your support. And you got a program that's coming up after this program, don't you?
Yes, sir. I'll be at 11 a.m. Central Time, the Arterburn Radio transmission, Rockfin. I'll be live on freeworld.fm and my Twitter. Come join me over there.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask, take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.